It is a privilege today to be speaking here and to believe God with you for a word from the Lord this morning that He desires to strengthen your faith and bless your family. And this morning, at Pastor Jim's request, I wish to recognize Reverend David and Carolyn Nelson, two wonderful servants of the Lord who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Brother and Sister Nelson, where are you? I need to see you. And let us say welcome this morning. There they are. Good. And if you'd like to rejoice with them this afternoon between 2 and 4 o'clock, it'll be up in the upper foyer, their reception. I have something that I came across this week, and a grandmother, an elderly woman, and her little grandson, whose face was sprinkled with bright freckles, spent the day at the zoo. Lots of children were waiting in line to get their face painted by a local artist who was decorating them with tiger paws. "You've got so many freckles, there's no place to paint," a girl in the line said to the little boy. Embarrassed, he dropped his head, and his grandmother knelt down next to him. "I love your freckles," she said. "When I was a little girl, I always wanted freckles." While tracing her finger across his cheek, "Freckles are beautiful," she said. The boy looked up. "Really?" "Of course," said the grandmother. "Why, just name me one thing that's prettier than freckles." The little boy thought for a moment and peered intensely into his grandmother's face and softly whispered, "Wrinkles." It's so good to have each one of you here today. And would you stand with me now as we read God's word from Luke chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 25. And we'll read down through part of verse 28. Beginning at verse 25 in Luke chapter 2. If you have your sermon notes, it's printed there as well from your bulletin. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God." We'll stop there for now. Father, may your word become alive within us today, producing faith and just surrounding our families and touching our children as we lift them up to you in praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's been on my heart for a few weeks that the relationship of Simeon and Anna to Mary and Joseph with baby Jesus would become meaningful to us today concerning our children and our grandchildren. The Simeons and Annas who may be around us, the way that we may relate as a Simeon or an Anna today. Now, some of you are young enough that you, as Mary and Joseph would be portrayed in this passage, your children are who we lift up today in praise to the Lord. So it became for me something of seeing how the right thing done at the right time was so meaningful in the foundational life of baby Jesus. It pleased God. It was God's son being lifted up to him. And that's exactly what God wanted. So the strategic actions at strategic moments, the right time for the right action. And so in this case, we're talking about a little small child. And this morning we'll relate this to our children of any age. But we see that the right thing for us to do is to support God's will, God's strategy for each child's life represented here or attending here at Central Assembly this morning. Supporting God's strategy. And having each child here at Central Assembly lifted up, having their parents blessed by being here, and having us lift up each child to lift up to God in praise. There was something I read from Billy Graham's, from Abraham Lincoln, his words about a child. Listen to this, how he perceived, how he envisioned what a child could become. A child is a person who's going to carry on what you have started. He's going to sit where you're sitting, and when you are gone, he's going to attend to those things which you think are important. You may adopt all the policies you please, but how they're carried out depends on that child. He will assume control of your cities, your states, and nation. He's going to move in and take over your churches, your schools, your universities, and corporations. The fate of humanity is in his hands. The words of one of our presidents, Abraham Lincoln. I put on the front of the bulletin today something you might take. I want to read through it one more time with you right now. It's that reflective reading by the president of Houghton College, John Payne, as he gave the foreword in the book entitled John Wesley. Often when it seems that Satan's empire is firmly entrenched, and when the forces of righteousness seem to be losing morale and carrying on in a futile rearguard action, somewhere behind the lines, God is quietly preparing and furnishing thoroughly a man for his purpose, a man or woman. Then at the proper strategical point, not too soon and not too late, he brings forth his instrument and delivers to the kingdom of darkness a series of blows which rock it upon its base. Thus it was with Moses, who spent 40 years in God's desert school while all his people forgot him. So too with David and John the Baptist and Paul. And he continues to talk about John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church worldwide, and his influence. We shall do well to remember that our Heavenly Father is no respecter of persons, and that he can make of even us a vessel of honor. God's strategic moments and what God can actually do through your child, your grandchild. That's our emphasis this morning. The right thing for us to do then here today is supported by the example as we look at Mary and Joseph. For they were obedient. It was obedience to God's will for his son to be lifted up to him. They, at whatever cost it took, whatever energy, whatever sacrifice, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem and to present him to the Lord. And then there was the right thing for Simeon to do. First of all, to be faithful to the revealed plan of God that had been revealed to him. It says there in Simeon had it revealed to him in verse 26 by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So there was no other priority that was so great with Simeon as to see Jesus. You know, if you're here this morning and this speaks to you, and you're not sure that you've really experienced and met Jesus, if you this morning realize that he is being revealed to you in some way in this service, and already he's captured your attention, and he's capturing your heart, and you really want to know Jesus enough that if anything happened and you died, you are sure you would go to heaven, then this is what you need this morning, is to see that God has had a plan for your life that would bring you to the place that you would see Jesus, and that would be your highest priority before you died. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Secondly, he was moved by the Spirit of God, and he went into the temple courts for what was about to happen. Moved by the Spirit of God. I know that he is about to have something happen that lets Mary and Joseph know that God is moving in their midst, and that these parents would see that God was moving upon their children and for us, our grandchildren. When my grandchildren walk in the front door of the house from Virginia or Oklahoma City or Michigan, when I get to them at the front door, I throw my arms around them. You know, thank you, Jesus, for Brianna. Thank you, Jesus, for Adam. Boy, they know that before they leave, we are so thankful to the Lord for these grandchildren in our lives. Now, by the time they leave and go home, sometimes instead of being moved by the Spirit, I am moved to go toward that recliner and just fall out and just. But it is great to have and to acknowledge the blessing of the Lord and thankfulness to God and praise to God as we lift up our children and grandchildren to the Lord. Lifting the baby Jesus in praise to God was such a strategic thing for Simeon to do. And then for Simeon to bless the child, for Simeon to speak over the child Jesus, God's promises and God's purpose. That's what you and I want to do, is to speak over our children and grandchildren of God's promises and God's purposes, that there will come fulfillment in their lives that is strategic and God's timing and God's will, and great things to happen through their lives by the covering of the precious blood of Christ. And our affirmation of that covering and our trusting in the blood of Jesus and what we speak as the blessing of the Lord over our children and grandchildren, the promises of God. You know, this is such a prophetic word Simeon is giving, but who knows but what the Spirit of the Lord moving on us can just reinforce God's purpose and plans and speak prophetically over our children and our grandchildren. So verse 28 says, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and begin to speak these words, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. There are promises of God you can hold on to for your children and grandchildren today. Young men and women here today, your parents, if they're in church with you, they have believed God and spoken the blessings of the Lord over your life and brought you whatever it takes into the place of the moving of God's Spirit here. Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon could die in peace, having seen the Lord Jesus Christ. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles in Springfield, Missouri, no less, a light for glory to your people, Israel. And it was Simeon's privilege to speak those kinds of words and prophetically proclaim what Jesus Christ was going to do and what he meant by his life being present with them right there in that room. Oh, the presence of God in this room and you being here, young people, and what that means to us this morning. We know God has something great that he's unfolding and doing through your life. Maybe it's the salvation of another young person. Maybe it's honoring your mother and father and the blessing of the Lord being upon that. You know, God bringing about such strong, strategic, foundational things that will support you under the most difficult points of your life that could come. So from the strategic actions that we see taken, and Mary and Joseph took those actions, Simeon took those actions, we move to the timing of this and the timing of where we are this morning and what God intends right now in this meeting. Pastor Jim is such a gracious pastor, and we love working with him, and we see the touch of God through him and the strategic moments that we're at in Central Assembly. Thank God, it's no accident. It's God's purpose and God's plan. And though we miss him this morning, God is working a work in Japan this weekend through Pastor and Miss Sandy. And they're witness among Christian workers in Japan and speaking this morning as they have spoken at that church in Japan. Thank God for his powerful word through our pastor and the joy and the privilege of knowing that he is praying and believing God with us, that the strategic moments we have like this morning, that God may have a word that speaks to a young person, to a mom and dad, to a grandmother, a granddad. Because the right time for all parents is what I put next. The right time for moms and dads here this morning, that you may marvel at God's strategy. That's just one way to word it. That you really see that in God's strategic moments right now, you can lay hold upon another promise from the Lord today that will bless and cover your children, your grandchildren. To speak a godly covering and to marvel at God's promise, Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said to them, verse 33. And then to be blessed by Christians around you, because Simeon and Anna were around Mary and Joseph to be a part of God's affirming over their child, God's purpose and God's plan. We're here this morning to partner with you, mom and dad and grandmother and granddad, for your children and grandchildren and God's moment in their life right now to take His word this morning and bless them, to be blessed by other Christians around you today. And to begin at this strategic time, if you have very, very small children also, the babies that are brought up here and dedicated to the Lord are being brought by parents who want God to affirm His blessing and His covering over their lives. Well, at this time of their young life, to begin at birth for Jesus to be the example, to begin at birth for you to treasure the child God has given you. Treasuring what God has put into your hands. It is not a burden. It's not just costing something, but it is worthy of value and worth to see God's strategic moments and to value your child and treasure your young child. My parents loved me and showed me the love of the Lord. And as a little boy, they told me later that I became so ill with whooping cough that they became concerned I would not live. We lived across the street from our home church there, and there was a cemetery beside the church. And my mother said a doctor told her in so many words, "You may have to be prepared to place him there." And I don't think any doctor should say that to a mom or dad. But thank God, mom and dad began to pray and seek the Lord and got others into the church praying. And they held me up to the Lord in prayer, and I did not die. Sure enough, I am alive and present. But my parents cared so much, and they believed God wanted me to live. Mom and dads, we're here with you this morning for God's blessing upon your children. When our firstborn was a few weeks old, we had the opportunity for J. Robert Ashcroft, who came to a camp in eastern North Carolina near where we were pastoring, and he spoke at that camp meeting, to come then and dedicate our daughter to the Lord. And so Brother Ashcroft took her in his arms and began to pray and call on the Lord, you know, to touch her life and lead her life and make her life what God wanted it to be, and let His Spirit be upon her. And our oldest daughter came with that touch upon her life to a place where this very weekend she's in Ghana, West Africa, handling the music ministry for a camp of children, the Muslim children's camp there in Ghana, West Africa, where this daughter that was dedicated to the Lord is now ministering to other children this morning. It thrills my heart. It's real. I know God uses those around us to bless our children. And then Simeon and Anna. And for those of us who are older in this congregation, if we can be Simeons and Annas this morning, we give thanks to God for His plans for the young and your children and your grandchildren. We affirm your child this morning as one who is strategically placed by God to bring a word of truth and life to others. Strategically this morning, God again will put a touch upon His word and make it come alive for your child to have another blessing upon their life this morning, your grandson, your granddaughter, to speak with faith and blessing upon them. And young people, it continues for you as you grow older. Whatever age your child is, you have children in your home this morning that are here at Central Assembly, or you young people here at Central Assembly this morning, I saw something happen in the last two or three weeks that thrilled my heart so much. One of our older ladies in the church got a burden on her heart for one of the college students. She found out that this student had a bill that was $2,000 last spring that the student could not pay, and now $5,000 more to enter this year and back at Central Bible College. And so this student was in a desperate need and could not re-enroll at CBC this fall. Well, when this grandmother found out about that student here in our church, she went to her and found out the details and found out her grade point average, and knowing that it was something to invest in her life that she felt was timely. And this grandmother knew that the student wanted to become a missionary. And so she said to this student, "I believe God is laying it on my heart to pay your entire bill now, and that $7,000 is going to be covered." And she went to CBC and she brought the receipt to the young lady, and she's going to walk up in registration line and enter, because somebody is blessing and bringing a blessing upon someone else's child. We believe this morning this can be God's time to just use us Simeons and Annas too, and bless young moms and dads here, and bless young people here. And moms and dads, God sees your faithfulness, and God wants to speak words of reassurance and words of foundational love and blessing and covering. You know, it's possible you have gone through tension and strife in your home, and maybe there's not good communication now. Maybe it's even hard for you to say to your son or daughter, "Bless you," or "I'm proud of you." But listen, there's something there that God has in their life that you can pinpoint and say, "I do thank God for what He's doing in your life." There's something that happened in the life of Billy Graham's mother that I brought to the platform with me this morning. So the writer of the book, Living the Lois Legacy, put these paragraphs in that book. "I learned something some years ago," she says, "from Morrow Graham, Billy Graham's mother, when I had the privilege of spending some time with her in Charlotte, North Carolina, in their family home." Billy Graham's mother spoke of the concern she had for Billy when he was in high school and his grades were suffering. The teacher finally told her that Billy might not make the grade. Billy Graham's mother said, "Oh no, that can't be. I felt like I'd just been chopped through the heart. You'll just have to do something for my boy," she prayed. "Oh Lord, that can't be true. You'll just have to do something for my boy." She finished that simple prayer by saying, "Lord, you are preparing Billy for something, and whatever it is, Lord, it's your problem." Mrs. Graham's account of that episode in Billy Graham's life ended like this: "You know, I left that problem with the Lord that day, and by the end of the school year, when he was 17 years old, he had made the grades to graduate. It was surely a test for me as his mother, but God saw him through." Mother, God sees your child through. You and I can do everything we can for our child, but only God can see them through. Grandmom, granddad, today, I read recently that there are over 4 million grandparents' homes now in the United States that are raising the grandchildren. Some grandparents have seen their son or daughter grow up and become involved in things, and separation in the home and breakup of mom and dad and drugs and problems that have developed in the life of their son or daughter, and now find themselves that their son or daughter could not take care of their children, and their children needed grandma and grandpa to step in. I was surprised to learn this week that the money to support a foster child that's given to foster parents is greater than money that is given to grandparents to support a grandchild. And I don't understand the reasons behind that, but I'm just saying, grandma or granddad, today, if it's a difficult time and you just want us to surround you with prayer this morning, hasn't God called us here just to bless you? Just to bless your grandchild. And believe God, the word of the Lord is the same today. God reveals His plan. God has a purpose, and God will do something you can marvel at, we trust. By the grace of God, God saw him through. What a lesson I learned from Mrs. Graham, that I can safely leave my children, grandchildren's problems with the Lord. This is the access we've been given to secure God's help on their behalf. Mrs. Graham told me she prayed unceasingly for her other children, her 12 grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. When Billy Graham began his preaching ministry back in his Florida Bible Institute days, he was heard to say, "The road to hell is blocked with many interferences. If you go to hell, it will be your own deliberate choice, as God is doing His best to keep you out of there." As he spoke on the theme of God's blockade, young Billy Graham went on to say, before a person can sink there, he must climb over the Bible, climb over his mother's influence in prayer, climb over the Holy Spirit, climb over the mountain of reason and the cross of Christ. He never forgot, he never lost the benefit of the influence of his mother's prayers. That's the way I feel about you, Mom and Dad and Grandmom and Granddad today. God's will for us this morning is to have his promise, his word of assurance, his blessing upon our children, our grandchildren. I recently, in the past few weeks, heard of one of our grandparents who, at a gathering of their grandchildren and children, wrote out something they called prayer of blessing. And I know there's a book by Pastor Strand that's about the blessing over your children and grandchildren. Well, I just asked those grandparents this week, I said, I want to preach about blessing over our children and grandchildren Sunday morning. Could I have some paragraphs that you wrote out and just let me share that as kind of a concept of how we can put into word things over our grandkids? And here's some paragraphs they wrote. What a welcome you received on the day of your birth. It's a boy, and Dad and Mom have a son, and a very special one at that. So 11 or 12-year-old grandson, they wrote this out for, and they spoke it to him in front of all the other grandchildren, and they spoke to each of their grandchildren at that gathering. You have been a blessing and brought a lot of joy to all of us. Your Nana and Papa love you very much and pray for you daily. You remind us both of your dad in so many ways. So you can tell they were beginning to just affirm in him what qualities they saw in him and how much they loved him and prayed over him daily. Your stature, your attitude, your personality have many similarities to your dad. Your easygoing, gentle demeanor are a pleasure to be around. Your dad was very easy to raise. He was not rebellious or a disobedient son, and as a result brought much joy to us. We sense you have the same heart's desire to honor and obey your parents. So they were bringing out something they sensed in that boy. The Living Bible says in Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do because God's placed them in authority over you. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of God's 10 commandments that ends with a promise that if you honor your father and mother, yours will be a long life full of blessing. Wow, what a promise. And we know that's the principle of having a life of blessing that is long with blessing. Even though we know that it's possible for accidents to take our children or our grandchildren, there's the principle. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you for honoring your father and mother. Wow, what a promise. And this is for you and for all who will obey this commandment. We've remembered with a smile many times the cousins' camp when you went behind the curtain in the motorhome and asked Jesus to come into your heart so that you could tell Nana that night around the campfire that you had become a Christian. Just reaffirming experience of meeting Jesus. As a baby, your mom and dad dedicated you to the Lord and his purposes for your life. That was their decision. In July 2005, you made an important decision on your own to join your sisters and three of your cousins in water baptism, bringing out the value of water baptism. That decision brought joy to God's heart and blessed the family and friends who witnessed it. And by that act, you declared your love for the Lord and your desire to please and obey the Lord. Your Nana and Papa love you unconditionally. We're very proud of you and the outstanding young man you've become. We see a bright future, blessed future ahead of you as you follow and honor the Lord. We pray God to continually give you wisdom, the ability to know and make right decisions. We pray this blessing over your life in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I just wanted to, you know, just take in and share with you one example of Grandma and Grandpa just speaking, writing out a blessing, reading it to the grandchild. Another grandmother had told me in the past few days, when my grandchildren were born, I sat down and wrote a letter to them and sealed it and gave it to them. And I don't know what age she told the parents to have the grandchild open it, but to put into words, she said my tears just fell on that letter. You know, some way for us just to reaffirm God's will for our child or grandchild, God's blessing and blessing upon their life. Well, here at this time in the service, and as we close in a few moments this morning, what strategic action may we take at this strategic moment this morning that would help the child, the grandchild in your family, to have others just uniting with you in prayer for God's covering, God's blessing, God's promises. So the way I worded it here, joining with you parents among us, may we be as Simeons and Annas and partner with you. May our words lift your child up in praise for their birth, their growth in wisdom and knowledge, and God's purpose for their life. May our words speak faith and God's blessings on your child with you. So even without them physically present in here this morning, I believe God will use us to be a blessing. I'd like for you to consider in closing these three promises from God's word upon your descendants, your children, your grandchildren. The first one is found in Psalms 112. Here's what it says, and then I'll give you the reference again. I want you to see what it says first. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who reverences God, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. I'm going to read that again. That's in Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. I want you to hold this up over your children. I want you to put this under your children's pillow, as it were. Just let it be a foundational verse. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. Isn't that what we want for our descendants? God, let them be mighty on earth for the right, for the good, for the will of the Lord, for the purposes of God in their life. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Oh God, let me continue to walk uprightly before you, Lord, as a dad, as a granddad. Lord, let my life be something that is a strong support for righteousness in my children and grandchildren. Let me not stray, Lord, from what is right in your sight. Let nothing attract me away from your principles of godliness and holiness, Lord, so that the devil cannot get a foothold among my children or my grandchildren. I just believe when God gives you that armor of the Lord on you, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, your loins girt about with truth, your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I just believe, Dad, Granddad, when we stand in that kind of armor, the enemy has a defense that he can't penetrate. I think if I began to tell lies and I lost that girdle of truth around me, that it gives the enemy an open door to begin to try to touch my children, my grandchildren, or my wife. I believe if I keep myself humbled before God and want to walk in His ways and just seeking His face every morning and just standing upon His word and believing His word and keep my heart pure and keep my eyes pure, that the Lord will back me up in it and the devil cannot get his foot in the door with my children and my grandchildren. I'm just going to stand on that word. Will you agree with me in that for your life? God's safety covering, God's help. That the generation of the upright will be blessed. Secondly, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I just want to make that verse a covering for my kids and my grandkids. That's in Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. If they pass through the waters, if they go through the floods, if they're in the fire, oh God, don't let the flame scorch them. You are their God. You are the Holy One of Israel. You are their Savior. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. And the last one is from Isaiah 44, verse 3. I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Come on, God. Thank you for that. Isaiah 44, verse 3. I'll read the last part of it again. I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Young people, we want you to be so blessed as descendants of godly parents, but if your parent doesn't come to church yet, if somebody else brought you today because mom and dad's not in church yet, we're going to stand with you. We're going to pray over you. We're going to believe these words from the Lord are for you. We're going to believe God has something ahead for you that will bless your life and not curse it, that will fill your life with good things and not bad things, that will strengthen you to stand strong under the pressures of life and be happy that you serve Jesus Christ. It is He who said, if you hear my words and obey them, you will be like a house that is built on solid rock. And when the waves and the storms come against that house, it will stand. That's what we want for you, young people. That's what we see God can do, and that's what we want Him to do for you. So would you stand with me this morning? And in this strategic moment at this time in this service, would you just agree with me together in prayer for God's blessings and God's promises for these? First of all, let's start with the younger families, the younger parents. If you have children still at home, boy, Pastor Jim does great with this thing. I'm going to get it right. If you have children still at home, mom or dad, it would be our privilege to take God's promises with you to the throne of grace right now. And perhaps one of the easiest way for us to do it would be to invite you to let us know that those who are nearby you, that you have children at home and you want God's blessings on them and you want God to speak His word into their lives. And let us just around you right now, just place our hand on your shoulder or pray with you right now. Moms and dads here who still have children at home, young or teenagers, just raise your hand. And as you look around you today, just hold them up long enough that people around you can see that you've got your hand up. And it'll give them a chance to just gather around you and place their hands on you and pray over you and trust God with you. Thank you, Lord, for moms and dads here today faithfully in worship and prayer and praise. We pray, Lord, with them this morning that there will be such a refreshing in their hearts with their children today that God's blessing, God's word, God's promises just settle in upon them. Let there be an anointing of the Holy Spirit moving upon our moms and dads this morning. Oh God, let them have that word from you that their descendants will be mighty on earth for God. And that their generation of their children will be blessed, Lord. Lord, that if their children pass through the floods or the fire, that you are with them to bless them and help them. Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon their sons and daughters and blessing upon their descendants. We trust in you, Lord, for your loving grace, your favor to be upon our moms and dads here this morning. Upon their children, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, we love you, moms and dads. We see that it's so strategic that we speak blessing into the life of your son or daughter at their age right now for their future. And so maybe some of us have been Simeons and Annas, so to speak, the last few moments. But you know what? We also need those around us. Mary and Joseph received the great loving support and statements of faith in God's word and plan for Jesus. But grandmas and grandpas sometimes also need those kinds of words of faith and blessing upon their home or their relationship. I read of a son-in-law who said to the grandmother and granddad, "Don't you ever talk to my children about Christianity, about Christ." Broke their heart, of course, but it didn't keep them from praying. And you know what? When their grandchildren turned 18 years of age, they invited him to go out to breakfast with them. And now that they were that mature, they said, "Now, we just want you to hear our testimony of what Jesus has meant to us in our lives." And that son or that grandson or granddaughter listened to them and said, "Well, we know you've been a Christian, and we want Jesus to come into our hearts and our lives." Grandmom, granddad, today, we're just going to gather with you and pray with you. Every grandmother and grandfather here that we can pray with and pray around. I know some of you are sitting close to each other. You'll be praying for one another. That's all right, too. Speak a blessing over the grandchild of those around you. But every grandma and grandpa here this morning, would you raise your hand up and let those around you just put their arms around you, put their hands on your shoulders, just begin to pray. Thank you, young people. As you look around you, young people, you see someone to go and pray with, do that. Jesus, Jesus, meet with us, Lord, in your word, in your promises, in your by your spirit. Oh, come to our grandchildren. Come to our grandchildren, Lord. Bless their lives today. Bless their lives today. Give a witness of your love and of your blessing. Lord, let them be mighty on the earth for you, Lord. Let our grandchildren rise up and stand strong, Lord, for you. Let their generation be blessed, we pray. Use them, Lord, for your glory. If they pass through the floods or the fire, keep them, Lord, and be their God and bless them, our Lord and our Savior. Let your Holy Spirit be poured out on our grandchildren afresh. Let this be a year in their lives when blessing comes upon them. Let their what they've received at youth camp or this summer or whatever has come their way that would speak blessing into their life. We agree this morning with it, Lord. We thank you for it. We trust you for it. We're yours, Lord. We receive it from you. We thank you for it. They will be, Lord, fulfilling your purpose in the name of Jesus. They will see the promised blessings of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Father, those who hold their babies in their arms here at the church this morning, in the nursery, the little children's workers, Lord, we pray over them this morning. Bring blessing upon them as they bless these children. Touch Pastor Justin and Camille. Let their lives unfold with rich blessings as they give themselves to bless our children, our grandchildren. Speak, Lord, your blessing today. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Praise God. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's just worship and praise him. We thank you, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy.